Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Red?
What's good?
Not much, just chilling. How is everyone? Yeah, man. What's up? What up? What up, y'all? What's going on? It's the menu. The menu in the house.
The menu.
Red and Brother B, the menu on Blog Talk Radio. What's good? Hope everybody is well. And, you know, I guess we just have to start the show off by saying our condolences to everyone.
Yes, definitely.
And to, you know, all families involved, to those that lost their lives on that helicopter crash that happened on Sunday, in which Kobe Bryant, retired Lakers superstar, passed away, as well as his daughter with him, one of his daughters with him. And, you know, I've always had this issue of why does it take death for some people to realize how life, how precious life is? It shouldn't take someone dying, losing their lives, getting, you know, severely injured for us to realize that, yo, life is, like, it's no joke, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit is real out here. You know, you can be talking to somebody 1 minute and the next minute not be here.
Absolutely.
And it shouldn't, you know, take death for us to realize that,
well,
like, life, you know what I'm saying, life is good, life is positive. You know, we put our own negative spin on shit, and we don't need to do that. We really need to stop that.
Uh-oh.
You know.
Hello?
What's up, Brett? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I had a little technical difficulty. Yeah, it's just it's sad that, you know, just like you said, you got to wait until something happens, and then everybody wants to be on some, let me hug everybody and love everybody. No, you should do that every day. You should think about that every day. That's something that should be cherished every day.
Yeah, like,
that's,
you know,
you know, those things should be, that should be an everyday thing. Like I said, I mean, you know, once again, and I'm going to say this, and, you know, you may not agree, but I say it goes both ways. Like I said, you know, you want to turn the other cheek when it comes to certain people or whatever, but you know what? Those people also have to realize, like, the same way something can happen to me, it can happen to you as well, or something happened to me, and then it's just like, now you want to feel sorry after the fact, and it's like, no, you should have just cherished that person or whoever it was or whatever, you know, at the time, and then you wouldn't be feeling guilt or sorry, or now you want to wait until the person passed away, and then you go, oh my God. No, you're supposed to do that every day. But, you know, like I said, we live in a world now where people are, you know, basically, you know, they have this thing where it's like, oh, that's just the way I am, and I'm not going to change, and this, that, and the other. But it's like, people are not going to accept that all the time. So,
yeah, no, this is true. This is true, you know what I'm saying? It's been a little crazy, you know, a little crazy week. Actually, last Sunday, you know, I got some news about, you know, I haven't spoken to him in years, but a brother of mine had passed away. And, you know, him And another brother of mine from years ago, who are now both deceased now, are actually like responsible for me getting into the whole music thing, like, you know, writing and actually becoming an MC. And
right.
You know, and they came about, or I was introduced to them in the time of my life where, you know, things are just kind of crazy, man. You know, I was just trying to piece it together, you know, myself. But maybe they were both very instrumental in that. And the fact that both of them are now gone, and out of the three dudes, you know, that we used to run together, you know, doing, you know, rhyming and stuff like that, I'm the last man standing. And it's sobering. You know, it really is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I got to, you know, say rest in peace to my brother, you know, Frederick Ivy, a.k.a. Hostile from, you know, a group back in the days called Screwball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're gone, but you're not forgotten, brother. And, you know, then this whole thing with, like, the plane helicopter crash, it's just like, damn, you know, it just makes you, you know, it puts things even more perspective, even if things were already in perspective, it just puts some things more into focus, I should say. And, you know, it's just a lot to deal with, man. It's just a lot. But then you go on Facebook or you go on Instagram and everybody's talking love this and love that. But like you said, Red, everybody should be like that every day.
Just temporary. Yeah, they should be like that. But
you know what I'm saying?
The sad part about it is going to be, you know, you see it all the time. It's temporary. It's going to be about maybe another week and a half, maybe another week of this, and then everybody's going to go back to, not everybody, but most people are going to go back to doing, you know, just back to the nonsense again until, you know, God forbid if something else happens or somebody else. So it's just like, you know, we just live in the world of a short attention span. It's like, oh, you know, everybody wants to be loved and all this, that, and that, and, you know, but then after that, it's just like, oh, back to the regular program. Oh, well, you know, that's it. And I'm not talking about, like, humor-wise, because you have to have some type of humor to get over the pain. You have to. It has to be some type of humor or something to get over that pain. Nobody wants to be in pain forever, ever. Like, some people thrive off of that, but, you know, some people don't. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense to just keep harboring that pain. Like I said, we are a shell. This is a being. You're going to miss that person because you're looking at a human form. But that spirit is always here. That spirit is going to always be here.
No doubt. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of jumping on this whole thing with this newscaster, and which I'm really not going to get into it, you know, in my personal feelings, I think she made a mistake. I don't think she meant to, you know, call, you know, anybody the N-word or even use the N-word. But this one actress or whatever she claims herself to be who's in some show that I don't even watch. Evan Rachel Wood.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're trash. Anybody that, you know, one thing I can't stand is when some people take the opportunity to take jabs at someone, especially when they're no longer alive. So this woman tweeted, you know, basically hours after, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, died. You know, oh, he was a sports hero, and he was also a rapist. Yeah.
Well, you know what color she is, so.
Yeah, of course, and it's sad because there are other Caucasians that don't think that way, but then I'm sure there's, you know, some that are, but, you know, certain things that should be left to yourself. There is a time and place for everything, as, you know, someone, you know, said on Facebook, Anitra B, what's up? You know, My thing
right,
is,
but
why
you know,
would
when
you,
it comes
why would
to
you say
us,
that now?
they never think about that. Yeah, but when it comes to
well,
us,
yeah,
that's
right.
my
When it comes
point.
to,
When it comes to us, they don't think about that. They don't care
no
about
filter,
that.
No
That's why
filter.
I was right.
No
No
filter.
filter. That's why you know a lot of people were pissed when you know that incident that happened with the, with that the man that got I forgot his name. His name is Gene what was it? The officer, the, whatever she was supposed to be. Went into his apartment.
Oh yeah,
him.
Bartham Jean.
Right,
yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Right, Bartham Jean, and then the you know then you know the judge is hugging him and the family's forgiving him. That that's the point. Why should we? And I'm not. Once again, I'm just going to say, like I said, why should we be so forgiving all
Stockholm
the time
syndrome.
And they're never forgiving, huh?
Stockholm syndrome.
Right, and
you,
they're
you know,
never
you get
forgiving
to love, you love
when
your
they
oppressor.
say things.
You love your oppressor.
Right, they never,
not.
They never, they're never forgiving when something happens to us. It's just it, you got to bring, just like I said, the time and place. Why would you have to bring that? Who cares about that? That's not even important right now. That's not important. That's not the, not the point.
And he was never, not only that, but he was never charged with rape or anything. So, you know, like for
and
her
you
to,
know what?
To just come out of face and say that is like, you're a real
right.
asshole.
And you know what? I knew all of that was going to, all that stuff was going, it was going to be something that was going to come out, either something about the rape or something. It's going, it was going to be something. And like I said, when it comes to us, it's always something. Why you just can't leave people alone? Like, what's the problem? Just leave us alone. We're not bothering you. Leave us alone.
Well, because we're black. Because I don't care what anyone says. Like, she can say she's not a racist, but that was a statement, not just that the man, but basically you just follow the stereotypical narrative of, like, you just got to say something disrespectful. Because
right.
I don't see white people, you know, there's not many white people I know that you ever see in the media that are dying, and the first thing they want to throw out their face is that, oh, well, they were this and they were that. You know, I mean, shit,
right.
Charles Manson killed a shitload of people. He died in jail, but yet he was celebrated while he was in jail and after he died.
Absolutely.
So
you know,
I just
and
find
they,
it,
and
you know,
they
it's,
celebrate
it's
what it's like, it's kind of like what they celebrated what he did.
Yeah, so it's twisted, but yeah, like in my opinion, I don't care what anybody says, but she's a bigot, she's a racist. Her comment was very racial, even though she didn't have to say it, but she said it, and there was no need for it. Let the man rest in peace. Keep certain thoughts you keep to yourself, and keep it moving.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? That's
they
a
don't
problem. Well, with that, but that's a problem where people, some people feel that they can say anything. And I think, you know, it's part, you know, partially the fault of this so-called Commander-in-Chief, who just seems to think that he doesn't have to have a filter.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody else runs behind him and said, well, shit, if he doesn't have a filter, I don't need to have one either. And I can say what
right.
I want
to
say,
I don't need to have
because
no
this
filter.
Is America, and I don't give a damn.
Absolutely.
And nobody's doing anything to me. Of course. Of course. But you reap what you sow. So don't
really
think that, you know, karma won't come back to smack you in your little, you know, lily white ass, because it can't happen. It, you know, it's just disgusting, man. Like, some of you bigots, racists really need to get a grip. It's 2020. You're still a racist, you're still a bigot, and you're like, your life is lost. Because if you're spending so much energy on hating someone because of their color, what's your real function in life? What's your real purpose? What's your real
that
role?
Is their function. That's the point.
Well,
that
then,
is their function.
Then that's the weakest in game I've ever seen. Because that means you live your whole life in hate, or you live your whole life in a fear of something that's not going to happen to you 9 times out of 10. And if it does happen, it's probably because of something that you conjured up in your head,
mm-hmm.
and you made it happen. So yeah, but Anyway, let's get on with the show. Once again, the menu on Blog Talk Radio, Big Red, Brother B in the house. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. Now, topic for tonight, the Mental Health Agenda. See, look, I didn't say, I ain't trying to say, I don't think I said anything wrong, but it happened. So, Red.
Yes.
You know, man, somebody could have said, oh my gosh, you said vagina. No, I said mental health. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody would just try to flip it. Be like, oh, he said vagina. No, I said mental health. Agenda. Yeah. Like, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, man, mental health agenda. I mean, what do you think about this whole mental health thing, especially in this country, Red? Like, what's your take on it?
I think mental health, I mean, it's at an all-time high, but I think that a lot of it is made up. I'll just give an example of, like, I'll say ADHD, like, especially when it comes to children. Now, I'm not saying that children can't be, you know, like, mental issues can't develop. We're not saying that that can't happen, because there's a lot of, there are issues that do, you know, arise with children depending on, you know, what's happening with them and, you know, probably environment or whatever, or maybe even, you know, family structure, maybe just, mental illness runs in families and stuff like that. But it seems like it's always like that's the first thing that people go for or want to use or abuse. It's like, oh, well, that child has ADHD because, you know what, he just gets up and he doesn't pay attention, or he just runs around, or he always talking, or he's active, he's this, that, and other. That's not always the case all the time. And then, you know, they're ready to have the child in counseling, and then next thing you know, oh, we'll give them medication, and da-da-da-da. Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes the child just may need to have an outlet. You have you have children that are in the classroom with 25 to 30, maybe 35 kids, maybe I'll say 25 to 30 kids. You have one teacher and one, maybe a parent in the class. That's still a lot of children for just two people. I've worked in the school before. That's a lot of kids. So you can't pay attention to everybody. So guess what? If you have a child that may be a little more advanced, now I think it's maybe the child may be a little more advanced than the other kids, and maybe that child might finish their work before the other kids. So what's going to happen? They're going to act up. They're going to do things. So the first thing you want to do is reprimand them. You want to say this. You want to say that. Oh, he does this. He does. Okay. But it may not be necessarily that the child has ADHD or has a mental issue. This, that, another. Maybe that the child is bored, and maybe you should give the child more work. Maybe you should have another parent in the classroom to take, you know, make sure this kid is not doing whatever. You know, maybe one or two kids. All right, so it's like, you know, that case, and then you have the second case of, once again, you don't know what's going on at home where this kid maybe allowed to do what he want to do, who he or she do what they want to do. And once again, a lot of these parents send the kids to school for the teachers to raise. No, that's not their job. That's not the parent's job, the school leader, anybody else. That's not an after school person, whatever. That's not our job to raise your child. You should be doing that from home. You should, all these things should be done from home. When you at home, that child should know some type of structure, learning to speak, you know, speak and listen to adults, learning that, okay, if I need to go to the bathroom, I can't just get up and go to the bathroom. No, I have to ask. Raise my hand, or I have to ask.
Sure.
So, you know, I think a lot of it is that as well. And like I said, with the mental, you know, that's the first thing they want to put in, and they try to do, oh, we want to give them medication. We want to do this and this, do that. Giving a child help is different, but not every time, you know, oh, let's just throw medication at him, or he has to sit through counseling session for 2 or 3 times, and then, like I said, it just depends on a lot.
All right, well, wait. I just want to throw out the definition out there. What's up, Lady T and 8696? That's you, wrong.
Yeah.
Stop making all that damn noise. Yeah. Bro. What's up, man? What's up?
Peace, family.
Listen, so ADHD, all right, basically, you know, the definition of it, it's a chronic condition including attention difficulty, hyperactivity, and impulsiveness. Now, okay, this is basically something, I guess, new to us, our generation, because back in our day, when you was bouncing around too much, you just get your ass smacked and they should sit your ass down.
Absolutely.
I guess nowadays you can't do that no more.
Nah.
Because then you go to jail.
No.
So you want me to give you guys it from a teacher's perspective and what's going on in the education system now, where they have recognized this and they know how to classify the kids now? Kids get something called an IEP, where they do evaluations over them so they can see that they can go into special ed. It's not for kids that are, what, back in the days they would put kids who are misbehaving in special ed and so forth. It's for them to also advance in their learning and learn to their techniques. That these hyperactive kids, you sit them down and you can have them do cognitive puzzles and things like that, and that'll calm them down and also have them learn at the same time. They also are branched off into a smaller class when these behaviors are shown. So it's not all about medicating kids. It's about giving them certain learning tools, and parents need to know about IEPs. A lot of parents, and especially in our communities, don't even know that we have certain resources to advance your kid. Don't think just because your kid is in special ed that they are behind, because those same kids come up to be scholars and they skip 2 grades, they graduate high school early and everything, because their parents got the help and knew the understanding and so forth for them. So when people say like ADHD is not something real, it actually is real. You have kids who they cannot sit down and learn for a full-blown 30 minutes. They need to move around. They need to walk around. Teachers like that are specialized to take care of those kind of kids. That's why there's an even higher demand now for teachers that are doing special ed. And they'll also go to homes after school and get paid extra for that, because they have those for kids that need an IEP evaluation on any disorders or anything lacking cognitively in the brain, I'm talking about, which when I say cognitive. So there are certain lesson plans that they will follow to get them to be either on the same level that they should be, their grade level, or even more advanced. And a lot of these kids actually advance. So it's about neurological awareness when you talk about these kind of disorders for kids.
Wrong. Ooh. Peace, man.
Peace. What say you? What say you, brother?
Yeah, sure. I would love to hear.
You know, I got a spin on it.
Of course.
You know, I got a heavy spin on it. Coming up in the school system, I grew up in Mount Vernon. And from the age of second grade to about ninth grade, I was in special ed. You know what I mean? I was in special ed, and what it is, I saw all kind of shit. You know what I mean? And I came to my guidance counselor in ninth grade. And I was like, yo, I don't want to be in special ed no more, because that shit was embarrassing. The classrooms was in the basement. The classrooms were kind of marked. You know, girls would kind of make fun of you and shit like that. With me being in special ed, I think in second to first grade, the coming of it was I wasn't conscious of me. You know, first grade. But I wouldn't sit still. Like the sister said, you know, wouldn't sit still, wouldn't pay attention. I was on a pill, what you call Ritalin. It was a little white pill that had split in the middle. It was an oval pill. And it was called Ritalin. I forget the name of it, the original name of it, but my teacher, Ms. Cardilla, would split it in half. She would take me in the hallway, give me the medicine with a little cup of water. You know, that was embarrassing. You know what I mean? But,
I remember them doing that to kids.
Yeah, you know, but also keep in mind, I was a child of the 70s. Now, imagine the children of the 60s. The 60s, then it was the children of the 50s, who the drug of choice at the time in the 50s was alcohol. See, what it is the parents living that fucks with the kids, that fucks with the learning. You know what I'm saying? It's like, God knows what my mother did. You know what I mean? But what happens is my brother, my older brother, he smokes weed. That's his thing, is weed. You understand what I'm saying? His thing is weed. And he's been in the military and all that shit. You know what I mean? My second oldest brother, his thing was alcohol, it was beer. You know, and I caught on to that shit early about those guys, and I was like, you know, I'm not doing none of that. But my thing ended up being women. You dig what I'm saying? So it's like, it's what the parents do, the fucks with the kids learning shit. You know what I mean? How they got medicinal marijuana now. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen 20 years or 10 years from now when these kids come out?
Mm-hmm.
When, you know what I mean? The children
well,
of recreation.
Well, think about the crack era. Crack era babies.
It's not the children. It's the parents. You know what I mean? And
right.
It's like the government are doing the weed shit and all kind of shit like that, especially with us. What was brought to my attention, the book that a lot of teachers, I think a lot of social workers read, and a lot of caseworkers, well, not caseworkers, but social workers and psychiatrists, or psychs, it's called the DM book, Diagnostic Manual. I think they're up to five now. The Diagnostic Manual is with doctors in schools, like social workers, caseworkers, or whatever, how they classify children, how they classify adults based on alcohol, drugs, learning, environment, environment shit. I think it's a bunch of bullshit because what it is passed down, and the shit that's agreed on. Okay, you think this guy is so-and-so-and-so? Oh, okay, we agree on this. They have a big meeting. I think every 2 to 4 years they change this manual. This is the new shit that's going on. Do you agree on this? Let's talk about this. They have like a whole week or a whole 2 weeks or some shit that they talk about everything before they change it up to, it used to be four, now it's five. So it's a lot of bullshit. You know what I mean? But what it is, the parents are fucked up at home. A lot of shit's not reinforced at home because the parents are going through their shit and they're self-medicating with drugs and alcohol. You know, all that partying and bullshit, all them white parties, all the boat parties, all the ski trips and all that shit. Well, them niggas is getting high and they fucking and having kids that's coming out fucked up because they're on drugs, drug addicted, alcohol, or even tinged to it. You know what I mean? So when a child is between five and 10 years old and they go into the school system, now you got a man, or mainly a female, who really loves teaching but can't really teach because the kid's fucked up. You know what I mean? The kid is fucked up because of drugs and alcohol. And it's hard for a kid, it's hard for a child to comprehend certain things that the child, that the teacher is teaching. You know, and especially when it comes to melanated children in general, we don't learn like white kids. You can't put us all in, that's the dumbest shit ever. You know, put all these kids in the one classroom and feel that they can learn like everybody else. No, that's not true. That's why we got like all white schools, and why they accelerate different from black schools or Spanish schools in the hood, because of the lifestyle of the parents is different. You understand what I'm saying? And the environment is different. The whole environment is different.
All right, so, you know, before K-Dog, what's up, K-Dog, comes on, I have to ask. So with all that has been said, you know, from the special ed talk to, you know, what Lady T was talking about, you know, things that they're doing in school, and you know, I do feel that to a degree there's some type of I think that it's like a legal way of labeling. I'm not saying that it's not true, because I do believe the whole parent thing and the drug thing, and that has something to do with a lot of some of these kids and the way that they're coming out and things of that nature. But I also think it's an unfair way of branding kids, because the whole thing is this: what makes someone an expert on what certain kids do, or how certain kids may react to certain things, or how they learn, you know, like what makes them an expert?
There is
compared to the parents at home.
There is no expert. It's just that motherfuckers sit down and do surveys. You understand what I'm saying? They do surveys.
Well, surveys are not always accurate.
We understand that, but that's why they're still practicing. You see, we're African people, and you study African culture. We knew, our people knew what the fuck was wrong with you. These motherfuckers are still guessing. When you're practicing, you're guessing. When you study medicine and you know and you pass it down, that's why it's like, you got, a while back I spoke about melanated intelligence, Caucasian intelligence, and Asian intelligence. Our intelligence was snuffed out by European bullshit. You know what I mean? To the point where we don't know who the fuck we are. You know what I mean? And it's like,
that contributes. Mm-hmm. That contributes to the mental illness. That contributes to the whole mental health agenda.
White supremacy begets mental illness in black people. That's straight up. You know what I mean? And I don't give a fuck what kind of degree. I ain't got no degree.
I believe that.
I ain't got none of that shit. But I do understand that. I know a lot of school teachers that are really fucking good people and go to school and go to work every day and hate their fucking job because they got to be fucking parents, they got to be teachers, they got to be disciplinarians, they got to be police, they got to be doctors, lawyers.
And they shouldn't take the job. They shouldn't take the job. That's what the job is about. You shouldn't take the job.
You shouldn't take the job if
that's the case. Let me explain to you something, what I feel like is wrong with the black community, number one. Nobody wants to take heed. If somebody said, I don't care if it was my sister that said, I think your daughter is acting this way, that way. Okay, the end. I think she needs to be on a second grade level because she's in second grade, but she's in a kindergarten level. At this point, nobody wants to take advantage of tutors. I hear parents say, oh, nothing's wrong with her, but then again, she'll get left back. You understand what I'm saying? So let's stop that. Let's stop that, and let's take awareness to our own kids before anybody else has to tell you to do that. It's about advocating for your child. Just because they say your child has a delay doesn't mean I'm going to agree with that. Okay, what's the delay? I want to do some research on that. Is it valid to what I'm seeing day to day? I don't ever go by what they say. I'm accountable for my child. I have to advocate for my child. They're not going to say, she needs this and she needs that, and she may need this medication. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've seen parents go ahead with the medication and take it as a quick way.
I understand kind of the point, because just like you say, you are accountable for your child. You're absolutely right.
The parent is responsible before the teachers, but then you have people that are not responsible
like that. They'll sit up there and let the teachers just tell them anything, and then they just
especially when parents are caught up in the world, caught up hanging out, partying and bullshitting. Because that's where the accountability
lies.
It's not you per se, but it's those parents who are not accountable, who are caught up in their own shit and forget their kids or just negate their kids because of their own selfish shit. My mother is that person. My mother was that person. She was, you know, when she got a little money and she got her shit together, when she was got a little older, she was out there partying and hanging out, going to bars and clubs and away trips and shit with her girlfriends. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of her girlfriends are fucked up now. A lot of her girlfriends, her kids don't even respect them. And we're in our 40s. You know what I'm saying? And I saw that shit when I was in my 20s. You know what I mean? Your parents,
you got to make,
if you want a better future for yourself and for your children, you have to make that sacrifice now. And you can party and bullshit
to a degree, that was kind of taken out of our hands. But hold on, I got to pass it to K-Dog. K-Dog, what's up?
I'm sorry. Hi, K-Dog. Sorry, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing?
How you doing,
bro?
What's up, K-Dog?
Anyway, what's going on? I'm listening to everybody talk. I'm listening to a lot of things, and I could agree with a lot of things that Lady T said. And you know, it is true about parents being responsible for their children. As a parent, you know, you know what's best for your child, but also you shouldn't allow the teachers to tell you what's best for your child, because you know what? Who knows the child? You or your teacher? You or the teacher? Think about it. You or the teacher?
It has to be you.
It has to come from you. But unfortunately, especially with today's society, you know, when you have parents that are not home all the time, who don't make time for their children, it causes a problem. It causes a huge
problem.
But sometimes
they just can't.
Yeah, they can't.
Right.
Especially with the living conditions. Right.
Yeah, it's a single parent home, and that single parent who's at work can't even, you know, watch. You can't
that's
stay on top of everything.
That's what white supremacy is about.
How long are we going to take going to say white supremacy for that and not whoever is watching your kid? Like, let's say how my sister is watching my niece. She understands how to teach her. She understands. She has a program. When I'm not here, continue that program. I remember when my grandmother had to watch us. She's following my mom and dad's program to keep us on schedule, to keep us on track.
Yeah, but see, Lady T, the beautiful thing is about that is what you're saying is your family, your people,
that's right.
Had that structure.
That's right.
Not everybody
is afforded
that type of lifestyle.
Okay, so who's
you know
watching the kids when the kids aren't being watched? Why can't y'all tell that
TV.
Person what is in
TV.
Place?
It's
that's
not,
my point.
Shit. TV.
It's not that simple.
I don't know,
the girl across the hall who's busy, you know, too busy on the phone, wrapped up talking to her boyfriend, or you know,
or
the kids
girlfriend.
In the streets.
She wouldn't get paid to watch my kid. Fuck that.
I work overnight. And a lot of times when I work overnight, it's sad that I see kids 13, 14, 12 years old in the streets, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. What the
mm-hmm.
f- are you doing outside?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you doing here? What are you doing out here? But see, but that all contributes to that whole mental health issue. Because, see, these kids out here seem to think that shit like that is okay. Like, they seem to think that, you know, they all of a sudden become in a parenthesized position.
Right.
When you have a mother or a father who's just saying, here, watch a little brother. Here, watch a little sister. Here, you got to stay in the house by yourself and deal with this because I got to go do that and everything else. So they become these adults a little quicker than they need to be or they should be. And they're claiming roles that they're not built for.
Yeah, because growing up, it was like somebody had to be home. Once I got home from school, somebody had to be home. Why? It was either my older brother or my grandmother. It's like somebody had to be in the house because they had to make sure that my homework was done. My sister and I, we had to do our homework.
Right.
And get ready for, because the thing is, my family structure was like this. Like, my dad worked at night and my mother worked during the day. That means during the daytime, when we're leaving for school, that's when my dad would be coming home. And during that time, my mom would be going to work. So she would have an instruction. She's like, listen, the kids get home, make sure they do their homework. That was the thing. That's why if my older brother was home, he would help us out with our homework to make sure that it was done. And the same goes, my grandmother would watch over us to make sure that nothing went wrong, to make sure that we came home.
Right.
That was the thing. I wasn't allowed to hang out after school with my friends.
Yeah, that structure is gone now with just today's society.
To a degree,
gone.
Yeah,
like,
to a degree, to a large degree, yeah.
No, grandma's is, you know, 30-something or, you know, mm-hmm. and they party, and, you know, grandma's is going out, and they don't want to watch. They really don't want to be bothered watching the kids either, depending on
grandma's in their 40s.
Grandma's
like,
getting
well,
younger.
No, I'm saying you have grandmothers, you know, like you said, a lot of them are in their 30s and 40s. And like I said, I'm a grandmother, and I know that, you know, I know that thing because, like I said, I stayed with my grandmother when my mother and father worked or whatever the case was. And my mother had to work and my dad worked, you know, had to work. You know, mm-hmm. I stayed with my grandmother. But just like you said, it's that structure is going with it was a grandmother or grandfather or, you know, or at least an older person in the house. Now, just like you say, you have the younger kids watching the younger kids. Like, you have 10 years old watching a 5-year-old. No, like, that how was that?
That was me growing up.
When I was coming up, I saw that too. Yeah, I saw that too.
Well, even when I was in school, I've always had an issue with this label of special ed. Special education mm-hmm. classes, because to me, if that was the case, then that means you've had some real learning disorder. Not because you were too hyper, or not because, you know, you were eating glue or something like that. It was because you had some issue with how you were learning things. Now I can get it at that point, but I don't think anybody should be
in those classes.
Yeah, but see, and I noticed a lot of the ones that they were pushing in special ed, some of them were just badasses. And
yeah, they just have behavioral problems. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or they have behavioral problems.
But see,
right,
that's the thing. Even the label of the behavior, they have behavioral problems. Listen, a little badass is a little badass. And that's the step. Like, everything doesn't have to be a clinical, you know, label.
That's
the thing that I have a problem with because. But that's how they get the child on medication. That's how they get the parents to agree
and say, oh, well, maybe he does need medication. Oh, yeah, well, you know, he needs medication because, you know, he has behavioral problems. You know, that's how they get, mm-hmm. how they get that.
Could be said for gifted, talented, and bright classes. I was in all those classes in elementary school, and I hated that label. Because it kind of made
you. You was a badass.
No, I was not bad. Listen, I wasn't bad. Maybe in high school I had to be, you know, rugged then, but no, I was good. But but even the gifted, talented, bright, they're trying to get rid of that now, and they need to get rid of that too because those kids always felt like, oh, I'm better than you too. You understand what I'm saying? So all these labels, these children, they don't need while they're developing. They don't need. I don't like that.
The part of that, the gifted and talented.
They did that.
The gifted and talented kids be acting like they the upper echelon.
Yeah, that's how they always act. Like, it's all about them. We all that. Like, we better than y'all. Y'all dumb. Like, and I didn't like that.
But here's the thing.
Your lunch was better than our lunch.
Yeah, like, come on.
You got the mashed up ones in the corner.
Yeah, right? I didn't like that either. And then you a target. Like, everybody's watching y'all. Okay. Like, come on.
I grew up in Mount Vernon. So when I went to Mount Vernon High School, I don't care if you was in the really, really special ed, like when they held hands walking through the hallway, and they just stayed, like, in the back.
Pin your mittens to your jacket.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Not to be nasty, but there was this fly ass girl. She was overdeveloped. She was in ninth grade. She was in that special ed where they walked through the hallways and hold hands and shit like that. She was down with them. Everybody was stopping, looking like, damn. Like, damn, she had a body.
She had a body,
but she had a mind of a 12-year-old or of 11-year-old. You know what I mean? So it was crazy. But we all ate in the same cafeteria. I don't care if it was humanities, level one, level zero, or whatever, and get level five, level three, special ed, special ed, or whatever. We all ate in the same shit. The only difference was the senior cafeteria because the seniors, these seniors, that, you know. But that's how Mount Vernon High School was.
I was in ninth grade
looking at ninth grade. I'm like, no.
Okay, just making sure.
No, but she had the body. She had the body of a grown woman. Like, oh, niggas were stopping
me.
Like,
but isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that you can only be equal when you were sitting down eating, and then you went to classrooms and it divided.
And you know how you make that transfer? You make that transfer from sitting down eating to being at the club. When everybody goes to the club, everybody's equal because you pay your dollar, you pay your money at the door. Same thing with the can be compared to the educational system. You pay for college, you pay your money, you come do your shit. You know what I mean? If you do better than this person, you do better than this person, but you paid your money.
I think these labels, once again, contribute to the whole mental health thing. But one other thing that gets me about it, and me and Red spoke about it before, is the fact that now you have some people that use this, you know, something is wrong with me thing to go out there and do dumb shit. I just did this. Oh, I'm mentally, you know, unable to do X, Y, and Z or ABC because something is wrong with me. I was in special ed classes all my life, this, that, and the third, so now I can go out there and beat somebody with a bat.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm smarter now than I've ever been. I'm smarter. In the last 30 years, oh, my fucking God. I'm like,
but
I can't believe it.
But still,
I can't believe it.
But there's still people out there who use this as some type of crutch to get over.
To act a certain way or treat people certain way. Like, oh, well, I'm bipolar, so that's why, you know, I'll be nice to you 1 minute and I could cuss you out the next. No, the fuck you ain't. You just a fucking bitch. Don't tell me that. Mm-hmm. And if I know you all your life, no, that's just who you are as a person. Don't use
and
that
that's
as
people,
an excuse.
Yeah. That's people that feed into the
don't
label instead
excuse.
Of trying to get
yeah,
rid of
absolutely.
That label. Try to get rid of that label.
I keep it focused.
Yeah, like,
on
you.
I ride the train daily. You know what I mean? I'm on the train. I'm on some of the worst trains ever. The 7, the 2, sometimes the 6, or the 4. Coming uptown from Midtown. So it's like, whatever. The crazy niggas come out. Talk that shit. I stand up and I look them right now. What you want to do, brother?
But legally,
you know what I mean?
Now, see, you know what the sad part is? Legally, illegally, you could be charged
for
harming one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Let a motherfucker lay hands on.
Legally.
Let a motherfucker lay hands on. And I'm going to beat his ass, and I'm going to beat his ass, and stomp the shit out of him, and call the cops and wait for him to come.
And then you better put a tinfoil hat on your head and say something is wrong with you. I hear more commitment.
Motherfucker can't even speak.
Because if you don't, because there's a defense. There's a defense in that whole mental thing. And it's sad.
Yeah, bro. And it's also, let me tell you something. Yes, you're right. But when, and it's just like with our people. I don't care, man, woman, or child. When it comes to Negro people, I can always look at the motherfucker and be like, hey, man, come on, cut that shit out. Sister talking that shit, you know what I mean? You getting to know her, you in a courtship situation, and she start doing that. You look at her eyes like, baby girl, come on, cut that shit out. That's one thing. I don't care how crazy you are. I don't care what kind of meds you on. Motherfucker come on that train talking that shit or scary motherfuckers. You get to me asking me for change, I give you that look in your eyes like, bro, you need to cut that shit out. You know better than that. Get the fuck out of here.
You need to put that on a t-shirt, bro. You need to cut that shit out.
Get the fuck out of here. I was like, yo, let me tell you, you know why? Because one day I was with my mom. My mother had to be like 50. She was like 50. I think she just turned 50. And I was in my 20s or whatever. I don't know. And I was with my mom. We was on a train. and we were coming back from somewhere. And this crazy nigga said something, wanted to do something. He got in my mother's face, and my mother's like, shut up, just sit down. And she flashed on him. She flashed that 380 on her. She flashed it.
Man, your mother was back in
time? What? My mother still, my
okay.
mother's 73 and still. Mental illness, brother.
That's right. Listen, I'm going to tell them, my cat told me to do it. Listen, if they can, everybody else can use an excuse about something, why can't I just tell
you don't want that. You don't want that.
There.
You don't want that. You don't want that on your record. You don't want that on your record.
I don't.
You don't want that
yes, I do.
But listen,
cat,
no, listen. On her record because the cat told her to do it. So technically,
you don't want that shit on your record. You get that. You'd rather have. Let me tell you something. It's crazy. A friend of mine is a lawyer. He's not my friend, white dude, to come to the job. And I don't have any white friends. He says you'd rather be a pedophile than to have a mental health issue on your jacket. You'd rather
Why?
Have that shit on you because it's hard
can
to
stop
get
you.
It's hard. It stops
yeah,
you from getting
yeah.
a job. It can stop you from getting bank accounts. It can stop you from being in the
yeah.
building.
So
it can stop you from being around.
It can actually stop you from being in control of your own shit.
Yup.
Like
if
you
receive
some
that.
Type of benefits or something like that, or
mm-hmm.
getting some money, like
you
can actually assign somebody to control your shit.
Yeah,
because they feel
said.
That you may not be mentally capable.
What
about
telling them I want
to
the cat
so.
To control it?
Oh, you should.
You ain't gonna get nothing but cat food.
You are so silly.
K Dog, you've been quiet, man. What's what the hell's going on with you, man? K Dog done fell asleep.
Wake him up.
Oh, sweet.
K Dog, where the hell you at?
Always tired.
Yeah, K Dog went to sleep.
He'll call back. But mental illness
is still on. No, listen, I mean, it's,
but,
you know, like I said, to some people, to the people that really need help, no one is out there trying to help them. This country, this city, this state, they're not out there really trying to address the situation.
You cannot help somebody. There's some people that are fucked up mentally because they're born that way. There are some people that, you know, traumatic shit that's happened to them. And
right,
to a certain
yeah.
degree, that there's stuff that stays with them that they have to bring themselves out. It's because you have to tap into the switch in you. You understand what I'm saying? There's no medication that can help you be better other than water. Water is, and it sounds crazy,
yeah.
but water is
oh.
the best medicine, brother, sister.
Listen,
there is nothing that you can write in a book that can help you physically or help you psychologically. If you ain't building a house, if you ain't putting a car together, if you ain't telling motherfucker how to formulate sentence using such and such alphabets and such and such languages, but
yeah.
all that other stuff, and this is what white supremacy is about. They make jobs for themselves, for the white kids, so they can live off of our misery. They can live off our misery. You know what I mean? So all that other shit, these motherfuckers had these surveys, and the pharmaceutical company and the educational system is all working along in accordance with the government to keep white people working.
Yeah.
That's
well,
all they
K-Dog,
do.
Let me ask K-Dog a question. Do you think that there's a big target on our back, you know, on certain ethnic groups? Do you think there's a target
well,
on their back when it comes down to the whole
listen.
Mental health thing?
Listen, there's always been a target on our back, but unfortunately, in our community, there's a lot of children out there who are going through some issues. Now, my brother's a guidance counselor for one of the schools. He's a guidance supervisor, and he was even saying the problem with a lot of our kids. You know, you also got to remember something. It's not all of us that were born that came from American-born parents. You know, some parents come from the West Indies and stuff. And, you know, they're not going to identify the fact that the child has a problem. Like, the child could be going through a depression. The child could be going through some stress. The child could be going through some growing pain. And the child cannot communicate with their parent. Because you know why? In some cultures, some parents feel like, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. They don't believe in mental illness. They don't believe in none of this and stuff. Some parents would be like, oh, you know what? I might as well take my child to church to get them prayed over. And the child is crying out for help.
That's another bullshit, too.
Yeah, what up?
But look at it. Despite the fact that she doesn't eat chicken, it didn't mess up Lady T. I mean, Lady T is fine. But the only problem is
Lady T is fine,
True. Y'all talking about mentally. Y'all wouldn't even know
about
my mental is not because of
chicken.
No, but you know what it is? But like I said, but you know what it is? It's like
that's crazy.
It's like this. It's like
really
no one's gonna.
Y'all ain't gonna let me live. I'm gonna have a chicken sandwich tomorrow.
Oh my goodness! I heard about that. What, Lady T? You're gonna have chicken?
No,
oh my goodness!
Nah, I'm not. I still, it's been so
many
years.
No, but if you, but when you really think
but
about
it, but you know,
it,
like I said,
most of us,
but like I said,
like you said, Kato,
a lot of parents are not. Yeah, a lot
it
of
goes
parents,
along to what you're
I,
saying.
Right.
That's the key word right there. A lot of parents from our era, from when we were growing up, like we didn't turn out fucked up. We didn't have our issues. So what's the difference
you turned
between
out
then
fucked
and
up.
Now?
You got it's the
you know what
concept.
It is now? You know what it is now? Remember, it's like a whole new generation of parents in this age, and I do mean in this modern technology age. You know, everybody's so hooked up to their phone. Nobody talks to each other anymore. If you notice that,
disconnect.
Nobody hardly
disconnect.
Talks to each other because you know why?
Yeah.
Everybody's on their phones, and when kids come home from school, they too, they're on their phone. You know, they're sitting down. Nobody's talking to each other. Like when they get home, you know, how's your day at school or check up on what your kids are doing? That stuff is gone. It's gone.
And guess what?
The
kids could have some type of mental issue. And because nobody talks to them, nobody's talking
exactly.
to anybody. Nobody's asking, well, what happened to that kid could be getting bullied at school and online. But guess what? They so busy into that, or the parents are so busy into their own bull crap online, they're not even paying attention to this kid, knowing that this kid is getting cussed out online, called names or whatever. And then it's like, you know, and then that's another mental issue that may go on.
And guess what else? That's what leads to a lot of these kids, unfortunately, committing suicide. There's been a huge issue with that in our generation also.
I had friends whose parents grew up in a crack era. I'm not going to put my history out there because if I tell y'all what I've been through and what I done seen at an early age, and I didn't turn out like that, certain things are learned. So how long are we going to constantly say, oh, being on a computer and this, that, the next is the problem with them?
Because
are not limiting their time on these tablets. They're not putting a limit to the tablet. You understand what I'm saying? When I had to come home...
When I had to come home
from school, I had to read a book. I used to look at my mother like, why do I need to read a book? I just came from school. Yo, you're going to read this book. You're going to do your homework. You're going to check your brother's homework. Things are learned. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So it doesn't work like that. They need to start training their asses, get off the phone, and making sure that they're not on the phone either because you lead them by example.
If the whole family is sitting on the phones and they're on their phones, soon as they come home from work, they're on their phones. They're at work on their damn phone. They come home from work on their phone. Yeah, girl, and all that crap. If they're doing all of that, you're not paying attention to your kids. So just like you said, it leads by example. If you're not going to sit up there and say, well, you know what, I'm going in the house now. I'll talk to you.
But wait a minute, now everybody here's mother probably guilty of it, because we all have the mother who was on the phone with that 80-foot long telephone cord when phones had cords.
If it wasn't the telephone, it was the TV. the story.
Yeah, but they
the story.
Exactly, the story. But that telephone call that was like 80 feet that went from every room in the house, from upstairs to downstairs. But yet, if you was too quiet, they stopped. Yo, what the hell are you doing? Get back to doing your shit.
Stop yep.
Man, it was exactly.
So now, look. Now, here's the thing.
We talking about rotary phones. We're not talking about phones with screens. Like I said, remember, there was no Facebook, nothing, all is none of
but
that.
You had,
none
but
of
you
that.
Had, but you had TV. You had a TV. Yeah. And you had four channels. You know what I mean? But technology.
You had four channels?
Four channels back in the day. Channel 7, channel 4, channel 5.
11.
Let's get real.
Don't forget channel
11
6
didn't count.
HBO,
11,
free
11,
HBO.
11. Channel 11 didn't count. Channel 11 didn't count because that was for white people.
I'm saying
it was for
white people. Here we go again.
It was for white people.
I promise you again, man.
You didn't watch channel 9.
Brother,
you didn't watch
brother,
channel
brother.
9 because the Mets was on channel 9. The Mets used to be on channel 9. And if you was a black, if you was a black baseball fan, you did not like the Mets. You liked the Yankees. It was very rare.
Yeah,
you liked
the Yankees. Seven channels.
No, but you only watched four. You know?
Listen, me going
anyway,
to seven, nine, 11, 13,
yeah, it was two,
whatever.
Four,
you were special. You were special
because
I only watched four.
Two,
yeah, and that's before cable. This is before cable.
Nah.
You know what
well,
I mean?
I hate
but,
the channel, too.
But what I say
I used to watch Channel 31 for
that,
Video Music Box.
No,
I used to watch
porn.
Video Music Box.
That was porn.
But that was the UF. That was the UF. What was it? The VHF?
Yep.
The porn.
The
UHF,
the
UHF,
the UHF
channel.
That was the porn channel.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
He just turned to the ground.
Anyway, hold on.
He just turned to the ground. He just turned to the ground.
Listen. I say that all to say is that technology is the death of culture. Black culture.
I say that.
Because the disconnect the disconnect starts with technology. You know what I mean? So you get in the house and everybody quiet because everybody's on their phone rocking and doing their own thing. Which is cool, but it's not good. What happens is when you get back to when you talk about mental illness is perpetuated by school teachers, by guidance counselors, by society, by television, by the job in which the parents work. It's all perpetuated, and it's easy. You know what's in New York? If you're in New York City, New York City is a big city, and they make every fucking thing easy. And it's not easy for you. It's easy for them to make money from you. See, the more we accept their culture and their technology is the less we become a family, unless we become a culture. You know what I'm saying? So we already, and you go back to how we define ourselves. How we define ourselves, we use their definition to define us. That's why we constantly get caught up in labeling. Because we listen to what them motherfuckers say because we speak that language. But when you go back and you study who you really are, and you study a culture, you study a tribe, where you come from, who your grandparents was and what they was about. Your granddaddy knew you was going to be fucked up. You know what I mean? Grandma and granddaddy knew you was going to be fucked up. Your mama, mama saw some good shit in you. Mama, and she worked to your strength. But it was you that had to work on your weakness. We get caught up in European ideologies and European cultures here in America or whatever, and we let them define us, and we get caught up in that. Not forgetting that, hey, that's against us. European ideology, English language, school in itself is against us. I was telling my daughter, I was like, yo, if you knew what I knew, you'd never have to go waste 5 years in college. You could have went and got you a fucking trade to be an electrician, be a female electrician. You understand what I'm saying? Or be a female carpenter. You wasted 5 years in college to get a major and a minor, and you don't even work on none of that shit.
Well, they don't push trades like that anymore. You know,
those trades are long gone.
They still exist.
But
you know what happened?
And our children,
a lot of these schools cut these programs. A lot of those programs are
yeah.
A lot of these programs are gone.
Dr. Johnson, Umar Johnson, he said that he has a type of degree. He's a psychologist. He has a non-active or non-functioning degree. But his degree, what he has now, was good 20 years ago, 40 years ago. His degree was great. You know what I'm saying? But now it's just like you go to school to get, what the fuck you getting a degree in?
He has a non-functioning degree. I've heard him say that many times. His non-functioning, when it's questioned to him about that, is because he's not renewing his certificates every single year. It's just like my cosmetology license. I had that since I was 17. You have to renew that every year.
But you know what you do here at Barbizon?
Were you at the
Barbizon? I do. You want me to cut your hair? I really could. This is serious.
I don't mind touching my hair. The Eagles are coming out.
Okay.
No, I don't mind touching my hair. When I had a shag, like when I was 13 and 12, it was a suit that used to cut my hair, Mount Vernon.
You had a shag?
Yes,
your hair,
man, yes.
Did you do a bald head and then the shag, or how did you have the shag?
No,
You had it cut low, and then you had the back long?
This shit was fly. Trust and
believe. Was it in layers? This is scary. I ain't got white people here. It's black people with layers. What you talking about? You don't have to have white people here to get your hair in layers. How is that? Oh, my God.
No, oh my goodness. There's no rainbow living over here. I'm sorry. I just can't believe he actually said the word barbazon.
I really
Barbazon, I can't believe Westchester Beauty. It was a sister. Yeah, Barbazon. I'm in that place. Parenting
is very different. If not there at all. But at the same time, you have the system that tells you, you know, how you can parent, what you should parent, you know, what you should and you shouldn't do, what you can or you can't do. And it changed a lot of the parenting style as well, because now it seems like when they tell you you can't discipline your kid, and it doesn't have to be, you know, you just smacking them on the ass, but some kid can be like, hey, you know, they're a little too harsh on me, and somebody be knocking at your door. So you do have some parents out there, not to say it's an excuse, but you do have some parents out there that say, well, fuck it. You want to act like this, then you know what? Go ahead, do your own thing until either the police, correction, or the coroner catch up with your ass.
Because that was all designed for that. You know what I mean? 25 years ago, that was all designed for that. That's why you don't have, what do you call that shit? What do you used to have when you were kids? Reformatory school? What's that shit?
They got rid of Spofford.
And the mental illness, then the trauma behind that. So if you're 14 years old and you on the island, you on the island at 14 years old. 14, 15, 16 years old, you on Rikers Island. You're not with grown men. You in a population. I forget the building, because when I was on the island, they was talking about the building, about the teenagers. They was wilding. I was in 95. I think I was in 94, 95. I was in 95 building. But I forget which building that the kids were in. But they was wilding. They was doing the shit that the hardened criminals used to do 30, 40 years ago. These young niggas is doing it, like raping dudes and all that shit, like wilding and shit like that. You know what I mean? These dudes, like the dudes I was in jail with, them niggas was like 30, 40, 50, talking about, hey, man, you going, can I sleep under the bench? I'm like, nigga, go ahead.
But it sounds like stuff like that. It helps create the mental issue.
Trauma.
But there's also no type of reform. Like, what's the purpose of a correctional facility if you're not helping to correct anything.
Hold on, and that correctional facility was for holding. You're not even charged yet. You understand what I'm saying? You could be found not guilty and end up walking out of there, but you're going to be walking out of there with a pile of mental cases on your brain.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So you're never going to walk out the same once you go through those doors.
Exactly. Look what happened with Khalid Browder.
Khalid Browder.
That's a sad story right there.
But hold on. He was hanging out with niggas. He was in the gang and all kind of shit like that. And he wanted to switch up when he get inside. Yeah. You better watch that shit again.
I didn't watch that shit again. I didn't end up in no gang.
He lived
around the area where they had Bloods or some shit like that.
So you want to know? That's interesting that you say that. So if I hang, that's what I was just about to say, because I'm not even going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to say so you can understand what I'm saying. So if I hang out with those kind of people, that makes me that. No, it doesn't. I'm not going to be.
He was weak.
Quote unquote affiliated. Don't tell me I'm affiliated because this person that I'm chilling with is part of that. That got nothing to do with me at that.
But you know what? The legal system will make you an affiliation.
Well, that's what they could do because they got to prove they take.
Byron, you're right, but you give the system too much say. When it goes like to the children with mental illness, a lot of parents are in denial about shit and they'll let shit fly because they don't want that to fall on them. Like it's their fault.
Of course.
My mother used to always look at me like, boy, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So, you know, maybe it's you. You know what I mean?
I'm just
going to
say, duh.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I would say that back then. I get fucked up. You know? My mother wasn't playing. You know what I mean? But the thing is, you know what I mean? Even my ex-wife, when we talk now, about how she, you know, she talked about how she raised the kids. I was like, yo, you go hard on yourself. You know what I mean? It's like you did damn good in comparison to how I was raised. I'm like, shit, if I had to do all over again, I'd want you to be my mother. You know what I mean? It was a little creepy. I apologize. But, you know what I mean?
But you can say that with a limit because look how you turned out now. You know what I'm saying? Every journey, you know, every journey, some things.
It was a fight. Byron, it was
some bumps in the road. Listen, I'm just saying,
it was a fight.
But
and I'm still
it's a
fighting.
Fight
and
that
I'm
you
still
had.
Fighting.
You have, but you know what? I mean, not to sound like a cliche, but whatever doesn't kill you, make you stronger. And your story is a story to be shared for your kids. As my father can endure, I can endure as well. The same thing I teach my daughter. I said, there's nothing you can't come back from. Never let anybody overpower the mind because it controls everything.
Mm-hmm. That's all you got.
But once again, we can help break that cycle. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have a village. We all have to be responsible
for
the people in our village.
To a degree, yes, you can break that cycle. But are you willing to make those sacrifices? You understand what I'm saying? One of the key financial things that I posted, I think you liked some shit on my Facebook page. It was about Claude Anderson. Claude Anderson, he might be a fucking agent. But the shit that he got, like the simple breakdown of how to rebuild our community financially is fucking phenomenal. And it's so simple. You know what I mean? And it was just like, yo, you have to do this. Will we ever get that far? It's less is more. Less is more.
We ignore it.
Some of us
We're in denial too with certain things. We don't want to change. I don't need, listen to me. I don't need y'all want to say the quote unquote white man telling me what's wrong with my daughter. Okay, y'all pointed that out. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to analyze. I'm watching her. I'm watching how I can invest her.
I don't need a black person telling me that either.
What you going to do? Use their definition to define a black child? Black people
they can't define a black child. They're not the ones taking care of her.
They're not defining a black child.
Yeah,
let me explain something. Coming in a dysfunctional home, number one. Being an eldest out of six.
Who said it's dysfunctional?
Hold on. I can't even give you a whole lecture why I feel it's dysfunctional. It ain't what the white man is telling me. If I could even describe it to you and let you know, it's fucking hardcore shit you seeing at an early motherfucking age. Okay.
So that shit is
dysfunctional, and that's just me saying that is why we in denial, because y'all don't believe that if somebody told you, even if it's a black person told you that's dysfunctional, dysfunctional. That's a white man word. No, let's check ourselves and be responsible
for
our household.
You ain't supposed
because
to. Because
I was
supposed
the oldest
crack
out of six. Oh, okay. I'll save that for the book. But on a serious note, it's real serious. It's real serious why I want to get this point out real quick. Because we got to stop saying, oh, it's not our fault. To an extent, it's our fault. Just like how you blaming your mom, I could blame my moms for having me raising the six kids when y'all busy arguing and doing this and other stuff is going on and y'all not tending to those kids. But one thing I made sure that my motherfucking siblings was not going to be in foster care. Was not going to have no ACS coming here. So I took control of that. And I helped raise them. You understand what I'm saying? Because we could have all been split up for the shit that
That's
we
how
did.
You
do.
You helped break the cycle. You took care of your village.
There's more work to be done.
You took accountability.
And don't just stop with her. You know what I mean?
I took accountability, but at the same time, I neglected a childhood at the same time for that. So that's what you're saying. Are certain black people willing to pay the price? Are y'all willing to stop the partying if that's what's bothering y'all? Like, to raise your kids, are you willing to do that?
Once you take care of your closet, take care of what's under your bed, then straighten out your bed, straighten out your fucking room, then attack your house with a vengeance. Clean your house. So when you clean your house, you can tell people who come from a clean house. You can tell people who come from a clean neighborhood. I can always tell. I can smell it. You understand what I'm saying? So yes, accountability is very important. You know what I mean? I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're a Christian or a Hebrew Israelite. But I see that brown skin. I see that woolly hair. I know that we got something in common, and I know we got a job to do, not just for ourselves, but for our children. We need to make the sacrifices that's going to be seen,
and
heard,
you know,
and
what?
A thousand years from now.
I'm so mad at niggas.
Hennessy. There's a small French. Hold on now. There's a small country. There's a small country in France. That makes 70% of the Hennessy and cognac that is drank in the world. And you know niggas.
You said
drink,
it right.
You know
the
niggas
first time drinking.
Niggas. I mean, like here. I said, God damn. I said, what is it about Hennessy, this brown, dark liquor, that makes niggas want to, I'm like, because I remember when niggas started drinking that shit in the 90s. 91. I was like, nigga, good. Niggas spilt that. Let me tell you something.
Hennessy, don't forget, they got the pure white. Anybody tasted that?
I do not drink that garbage. I've seen niggas do
I seen a nigga
pull out a gun because of that white Henny. we had to restrain a nigga in the club. I said, how do y'all get white Henny in the club? Not another sentence. That's another topic. But
it's called BYOB.
Hennessy alone. You telling me there's niggas out here that's so stuck on drinking this shit that they got to destroy each other. You know what I mean? A white man asked me, he said, what's the difference between Douce and Hennessy? I said, Douce is 65% made, controlled, and owned by a black man. Hennessy is controlled and manipulated by Moet Chandon, Louis Vuitton, whatever. Louis Vuitton is the shit. do your search about business. Louis Vuitton is the shit. They're doing some some iPhone shit. They're doing some heavy duty iPhone shit. But I told the white dude, I said, and second of all, I don't fucking drink, and I don't appreciate you asking about that shit. And here you are drinking fucking Heineken. You drinking fucking Heineken, and you ask me about Duce, like I fucking, like automatically I fucking drink. I ain't drinking 30.
Right, because you're black.
Matter of fact,
back in the day when they would say, "Yo, you want a 40? Yo, I don't drink more liquor.
Me neither. I don't drink more liquor.
Exactly.
I said, as a matter of fact, it was a day party. It was a day party. I said, matter of fact, get the fuck out of here. Let me escort you to the door.
Oh my gosh. Well, I do want to say this. Now, I could ask the question to Lady T of why she became a teacher, but from the little bit that you've already said, leads me to feel that my question to a degree has already been answered, and I want to say thank you for turning your journey into building a future for our kids out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if we once again everybody's path puts them a certain way, and I just feel that you became a teacher.
Well, it's only a start, and I have a certain focus on it and a certain agenda for it, and it goes past just the school system. You understand what I'm saying? It's more community for me. When I was growing up, my grandmother in our household ran a daycare, what they now call daycares, in her basement, and took care of all these, kids in the community. That's where their parents would send them to learn. She ended up working for Scholastic and finished retiring with them, and that's what she wanted to do. She retired early.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That's what she did. And things like that.
In the background, really? Damn, man, who the hell is doing that?
Animals.
You be quite animals.
Wrong.
Animals.
Watch
it. I can't spit.
I don't know what you did. I don't know.
Why you assume?
I just heard
see
you
all brother. See how you all brother.
I didn't assume. All I said was who's using the bathroom. I didn't say what.
Yeah, that's
doing.
What I'm saying. Someone was flushing the toilet.
I just heard you do it.
So anyway, what happened in the basement?
But not everybody, everybody's journey leads them a certain way onto a certain path. I really believe our generation was probably one of the last generations to actually, just have certain things that propelled us into the future. After
now
that,
we got to make movies.
Why we need to think that? Why we can't influence the next generation and the next generations coming up? It's not just
because
the millennials.
You guys,
I get tired of hearing people saying this millennial term, blah, 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 the same way when
our
parents were young, like 20-something and raising us, and they didn't know what to do. Somebody was there to guide them, regardless of who it was, whether they listened
or
not.
That's the African way.
But you know what? I partially blame it, of
Nobody
course,
wants
on,
to be African.
On us.
That's the problem.
No, yeah. Okay, we be more. Let's
what
be
they
want to
be, because I don't want to be nothing but black. Black, and I'm proud.
Well, look at it.
You can't be black. You can't be black because black is nothing. Africa is connected to a country.
Absolutely.
What is black connected to? What is black connected to?
Here we go.
Nothing.
Here we go, labels that you got to break down.
Because
oh my goodness.
Back to grandma and the
basement. Oh man.
I just want to be
one. Oh my goodness.
But to conclude, the mental illness thing, it bears so many labels and so many titles, but still in all, when we look at it, there's always two sides to things, and that's one end of it. You got the real end of it, and then you got that end which people are just saying, I'm crazy, just to say I'm crazy so I can get out of shit. One thing is black people, we don't acknowledge it. We don't acknowledge the trauma. We don't acknowledge, you know, the hurt. One thing is black people, we don't allow ourselves to heal a lot of times because we don't want to acknowledge what we went through because it makes us feel weak. It makes some of us feel like, oh, well, you know, if I complain about this, and men and women in relationships, we go through it. Well, I can't be the man, or I need you to be a more sensitive man. Well, I can't be that because if I do that, then next thing you know, I come crying to you and you say, shut up, stop being a pussy, and go outside and do what you got to do. And then.
Oh, so men
ego.
Are not supposed to cry? Mm.
That's another topic. Did you know that?
Red, get that topic together for next time. You heard, Red?
Yeah, I heard it.
Y'all can be mean. Y'all can be mean when some dudes be in their feelings. Y'all can be mean. Sometimes.
Only time
but,
I'm in my feelings is when
I'm
naked with a female. That's when I'm in my feelings. When I'm naked with a sister,
oh, God.
I'm in my feelings. That's it. That's the Vulcan.
I can't.
That is the Vulcan way. Yes.
That's what starts.
Anything else? I'm mild mannered, tempered, well tempered. Negro.
Oh, man.
I can't be so.
You just said the white way, the European way. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Me, bro.
Oh, my God. Sometimes you got to laugh, bro.
Yep.
Real
so on that note, K-Dog, Lady T, Big Red, Rome, we're going to wrap it up for the night. Thank you. And all that good stuff.
Mental illness.
That concludes that episode of the menu.
Guys,
y'all have a good night.
Peace and love,
y'all.
Peace.
Oh, man.